This is the Talk Theater in Chicago interview podcast. I'm your host this week, Ann Nicholson Weber, and my guests are Andrew Pond and Michael Woods, both of whom are founding members of Eclectic Full Contact Theater. Maybe, Andrew, you could just give us a really short summary of what Eclectic Full Contact Theater is.
Well, Eclectic Full Contact Theater was founded in 2011. A group of us who had all worked together regularly, mostly at Metropolis Performing Arts Center out in Arlington Heights, had over the course of a year or so had conversations about what would it be like if we started our own theater company, because we'd all like to work with each other and do stuff that we like to do. And we all decided to give it a shot and try it. And we took 2011 to basically prepare, do all the paperwork and everything, and choose the season, fundraise. And then we started producing shows in October of 2012. And the idea behind Eclectic Full Contact Theater, it's got two basic ideas that you find in the name. Eclectic, which basically means that what we want to do is we want to do theater that is just good theater, good character-driven, great story, really people can relate to it, regardless of genre, style, age, as long as it's good theater. And then the full contact idea is we really want to draw the audience into the process. We want to show them exactly what it is that goes into making theater. Mm-hmm. And so we invite audience members to our first read through. We invite audience members to come see a final dress tech rehearsal. We put videotapes of rehearsals and interviews with the cast and the crew up on Facebook and YouTube. We, depending on the show, we're also starting to try to get into regular blogging on our website about mm-hmm. what it is that we're doing. And then we have talkbacks every single Friday with audience members. So we're really trying to get them involved in every aspect of theater to kind of give people a better understanding of what it is that goes into what they see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Michael, you have a role specific in the company, I think, as sort of marketing mm-hmm. director. And is that concept that Andrew just described, is that working from a marketing point of view?
It provides a lot of challenges. I think because one of the main goals we had is we didn't want to be nailed down into one niche and say, well, this is our market, this is who we're, this is our target audience. We never mm-hmm. really wanted to have that be, we didn't want to be put in a box. Mm-hmm. As such, that means, you know, when you don't have a niche, you don't know exactly how to sell your show sometimes. And so,
yeah.
I mean, we did a show a while back called All My Sons. And so we specifically targeted veterans. And then for Take Me Out, we went to sports organizations. And we always are trying to find new ways to reach out to communities that maybe wouldn't be at first thinking, oh, I'll go out tonight and go see a theater show. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we draw new audiences in? And then with that, the idea of the full contact concept, really trying to draw them into the process of theater. And because one of the things that I really value about theater is the drive home afterward, is the conversation in the car. And I thought, man, how is there a way to incorporate that sooner or get everybody involved into that conversation and talk about the themes about theater?
Well, let's take Take Me Out as an example. Richard Greenberg is a playwright I really admire. He wrote 3 Days of Rain, which is a play that I love. And this is also a script I discovered, having now seen mm-hmm. it, that I really appreciated. So when you, first of all, how did you even decide to program it? Like, how does that process go when you're trying to decide what you're going to put up?
Well, we usually, out of the main membership of the company, we say, okay, we're going to be trying to figure out what next season is going to be. So anyone who is interested in helping make that decision, let us know. And everyone has, we basically take ideas from everyone.
How big is the ensemble?
We have 13 members. Mm-hmm. We have 13 members now of
constantly
the,
growing.
Of the company. Yeah. We're, but so every, we ask, give us two plays, give us two scripts that you really, really like, mm-hmm. and we'll read them. This smaller group will read them. And so we pass the scripts around.
Is that 26 scripts that you all read?
Sometimes yeah. It does get to pretty, and I'm telling you, I don't know how anybody did this before the internet. So we all read the scripts, and then after we've all read them, the committee gets together and we discuss them. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, this one definitely nobody was really interested, or this one everybody wants to talk about. We try to winnow that down from 26 to usually about, I don't know, five, six scripts.
And is this for each slot, or is this for the season? You get it down to six to get down to three.
Yeah.
Because there is a kind of an idea that we want to, even though these are kind of an eclectic group of productions, we want to try to find an overarching theme that we can say, this is our season and this is what our season is about. Mm-hmm. Or we're trying to get this kind of conversation going, and we pick this piece and then this piece and then this piece to prompt that discussion.
Right.
Okay. Again, uh-huh. I think here's the thing that stretches us as artists and as actors and mm-hmm. performers, is that we can't ever get too comfortable. We can't ever say, well, gosh, you know, these are just ones I like, and these are things that I'm really passionate about. I mean, the nice thing is, because we have a large group of people that are bringing their preferences to the table, mm-hmm. there are times when, okay, I got to take a knee on this one. And even though I don't see the vision in this play yet, let me invest in it. Let me take the step artistically and say, and embrace it. And man, I mean, there's so many times when that's happened with us where I've really been surprised that I found more in a piece that I didn't initially think was there. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing, is we don't want to be lazy artists. We don't want to make the easy decisions as far as play selection goes. And I think that idea of making it eclectic, making it more of like, well, let's stretch out a little bit. Let's try this one. And then let's go way on the other end of the spectrum and then do this show. It really stretches that artistic muscle, I think, to really think outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Is it a democratic process? Is it votes? Or do you actually have to come to some kind of consensus?
I believe that we have – it depends on the day, because sometimes you'll get somebody, oh, they didn't listen to my opinion at all. But I think when all said and done, yes. I mean, we are very much – we want to embrace everybody's perspective. But at the end of the day, we have to figure out what our season is.
Because at the end of the day also, we have to try to put together a season that we're at least going to hopefully be able to – you know, knock on wood, break even. Mm-hmm. And so there's the concept of, well, yes, we want to do stuff that stretches us and all this other, but can we balance, for example, I mean, we did All My Sons and Neil Simon wrapped mm-hmm. around a world premiere show yeah. about mm-hmm. Alzheimer's.
Right. Do you think that people come to the world premiere about Alzheimer's other than just on the basis of being interested in that? In other words, does it matter that you bookended it with two more recognizable and possibly popular?
It's been very educational to figure out, because again, we can think, we can project what an audience is going to do and what they're mm-hmm. going to be appealed to. And it's, I don't care what city you live in, putting up a brand new show nobody's ever heard of is very difficult to get people to come in and see. It's just yes. going to be.
Right.
However, I mean, I think that Chicago is kind of unique in that you can get an idea started relatively easily. I mean, we got our theater company going. We just had to have the energy to put into it, yeah. and there was an accepting environment for us to do that. And so I think that there was definitely a swath of the audience that came that wanted to engage new works mm-hmm. and wanted to kind of see what it was all about, and that was enough of a draw to bring people in. So we definitely targeted Alzheimer's organizations, but we also headlined that this is a world premiere, a brand new work that we want people to consider it.
Yeah. Did you get an audience for that one?
We did. It wasn't the best.
It was also happening during the polar vortex.
Yeah, let's be fair.
So pretty sure that even the Goodman had audience drops yes, during right. the polar vortex.
Right, right.
But the other thing is that season was also the first season we offered subscriptions. Mm-hmm. And so my thought has always been, if you sandwich new works or less well-known works or avant-garde works with stuff that is more well-known mm-hmm. or by people that are more well-known, you will still be able to get people to buy subscriptions, especially by the time they start knowing the work of the theater company. Mm-hmm. That's why we didn't try to sell subscriptions to our very first season, because nobody'd seen us before.
Right. And how are you doing in terms of selling subscriptions?
Honestly, I'm very happy with how, I mean, ticket sales and subscriptions are going. I think it's so encouraging to see the energy behind the audiences and seeing new face. Again, we're trying to target to new audiences. And then we'll do another show, and then we'll find a portion of that group that we targeted for the last show come to the next show. And we're starting to see names and faces that we hadn't seen before coming more often. And that's encouraging to me, because, again, that's not only telling us that we're doing good work that people want to see, but that we're connecting.
Yeah.
Like the mission that we have for the theater company, it's working, and it's touching a nerve with some people that they want to engage it. They want to come back and try some more. So,
well, let's go back to the full contact part of this.
Sure.
And so have you actually had people showing up for the first readings and the tech dress rehearsals?
It's hard to, I mean, I think what we've had a lot more, it's the day and age. I think the internet side of things has been much more lucrative as far as bringing people in and bringing discussion, rather than having people getting up, getting outside, going and seeing these things, because what they want to see is the final product. Mm-hmm. When all said and done,
we have had some audience members come out for the first read throughs. We have had more regular or more repeat people mm-hmm. come to the dress tech mm-hmm. rehearsal, where they're getting the chance to kind of see it before anybody else does, but there's still the chance that, you know, we're going to have to stop because a light doesn't work or something like that. So they get to see it. But we have had that. But Michael's right. I mean, the internet side of it is really kind of clipping along and bringing a lot more.
It's kind of making of. Is that what the
in a sense?
Yeah. We try to put together short vignettes of the rehearsal process, stuff that happens in rehearsal, and then also interviews with the cast members about why they picked. Why they wanted to do the show, you know, what they've discovered during it, kind of their journey, so that people understand it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People say the last thing Chicago needs is another new theater company. And many people start theater companies and sort of don't have what the kind of success that I perceive you as having, just in terms of kind of you've told me you've mm-hmm. Broken even each of your first two seasons, and you're clearly building an audience. So what would you say you did right, or that distinguishes you from, you know, the myriad of other new companies that?
Well, one thing I'll say right up, and I have no fear of sounding, I don't mean to sound prideful in that sense, but I know we do good work. Mm-hmm. I know that, I mean, part of the thing is that I think we had all worked with, like Andrew said, we'd worked with each other in the past, and slowly but surely, you just start hanging around people you want to work with. And then every show we've done, I've been extraordinarily proud of the product. I look at it from everything from the set construction to the lighting design, sound design, the acting quality, the direction, every aspect of it. I think this is a high quality show, and I would put this up against any show in Chicago. But I mean, you're right. I mean, there is so many. We actually, one review even said the Chicago theater scene is glutted.
Yeah.
We have so many small storefront theaters. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, those theaters are typically ones that last a year,
right.
maybe 2 years. And then it's hard to sustain it. It's hard to keep that momentum going. And that's what's been really exciting for us, is to see we're still going. And
so
we're,
why, though? That's my question.
One of the things I think is because of the fact that we have all been doing this for a long time. We are not, none of us are fresh faced 23-year-olds out of college who want to put on our first show. We have done this for decades. Mm-hmm. I also think that, I think sort of sidestepped some of the pitfalls, that other theater companies may fall into, just because of the fact that we kind of have been around a lot of other theater companies. We work for other theater companies. We kind of know what we like,
what we don't like.
Yes. Yeah. We know what we like
from
those
theaters.
Yes. Yet. And we definitely don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is we took a year mm-hmm. and then some to, we went from June of 2011 until, I think we started rehearsals in late August of 2012
mm-hmm.
of our first show.
Mm-hmm.
We took a year to plan, do paperwork. We did, crowdfunding to get
to
get money before we even started anything. Mm-hmm. We made sure that we had a budget already in place. We knew how much money we needed. We raised the money that we needed. And so we had the money going into our first show. Mm-hmm. I think it's that preparation. And also we committed ourselves to being in one theater for three shows. Mm-hmm. We went to the Athenaeum and mm-hmm. we said, we want to be in one spot. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be, come see us mm-hmm. here at one point, come see us over here at the other. And we also, from the very beginning, said, we're going to do three shows. Boom. So now we have to figure out how to do it. We didn't say, well, let's just quick throw this show up, see what happens, see if people like us.
And pilot then, project.
Yeah. And then like 18 months later, we'll do another show.
You can't be timid in this field, I think. Mm-hmm. You can't just, I see so many theater groups do that where they think, well, let's see if this works. Mm-hmm. Let's see if this works. I am much more interested in people that take bold steps and fail miserably. You know, I would rather have that be my story and the projects that I work on that I made a huge and I crashed and burned. That seems far more interesting.
Specifically because there are so many theater companies in Chicago. I mean, if you're going to try to start a theater company in Chicago and you're going to be a storefront non-union theater company, you better go full bore out because you're the competition. There's just so many people. If you kind of like slowly dip a toe in, you know, you're going to get bulldozed because there are so many other people doing really good work. I mean, you're not, while I agree, we do amazingly high quality work. You can't just rely on, we do great shows. Yeah. Well, it's Chicago. Yeah. Right. You can swing a cat and you can hit a theater company doing great. Swing a cat. I'm a dog person. What can I say? But you can just, throw a stick. You're going to hit somebody doing great theater. Mm-hmm. So you need to really kind of figure out how to separate yourself. And I think that's how we did it.
So what would you say were the things as you put your producer hats on? That's what we're talking about, is that you've been very successful as producers as well as artists. What do you think you did differently? What did you say, we're not doing that, we are doing that? Kind of what was the stuff that was talked about in those meetings that would define how you've been producing?
One thing was, I think we specifically wanted to treat ourselves as a professional theater. We didn't want to go up to people and say, well, we've worked with you in the past, would you mind doing us a favor? Mm-hmm. Would you mind, doing this for us for free? Would you mind coming in and volunteering your time? There's a lot of companies that do that, and bravo. But at the end of the day, the projects that I'm going to be spending the most time on, the ones I'm paid for, right, are the ones that I'm treated as a professional in my field for. And I mean, obviously that puts more pressure on us because we have to fundraise. We have to get out there and we have to show people that their work matters to us. And so that was one thing I think we just put right in the at the beginning, that we must treat this professionally.
Yeah, we have to pay everybody involved. We make sure the actors get paid, the designers get paid, the directors get paid, the stage managers get paid. Everybody gets a check. Mm-hmm. Also, we try extremely hard to treat all of our actors, designers, directors, everyone in a way that is respectful of their talents and their time. Mm-hmm. We try to make sure that we are not wasting anybody's time from the first audition through rehearsals, mm-hmm. through everything. We try to make sure we try to make it a place we would want to work.
Yes.
So I'm very, very proud. We've held now three large general auditions and never run more than 15 minutes behind at any time. Yeah. We were almost always on time. We have had callbacks with 40 people at them and we run on time. Mm-hmm. We do not call anyone to rehearsal if they're just going to be sitting around for 3 hours and then throw one line out. Mm-hmm. We don't do stuff like
that. We take the time in the scheduling. We take the time. I mean, the hard part is it puts a lot more work and effort on our part, but I can't tell you, like when we're able to bring in a new group of actors, and we sit them down and say, you know what, thank you not only for being here, but here's what our marketing looks like. We have already got that all set, figured out. Mm-hmm. Here's what our set design looks like. We already have that all figured out. Mm-hmm. Showing them all the aspects that we have put the legwork into, that instills them with an enormous amount of confidence in the product, and that gets them a lot more excited about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I think in turn, the audience starts seeing that too, and they get excited about the project when they start seeing that professionalism.
We have been very, very fortunate that across the board, the people that we have brought in who are not eclectic company members to act or direct or design for us have come afterwards and said, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. This mm-hmm. has been great. Anytime you want me to work with you again, please let me know.
Yeah.
You know, that is the kind of result that matters more to me than almost anything else, mm-hmm. because it's always been my idea that you can have a professional non-union theater that treats its, that treats its actors professionally, that doesn't, you don't have to just assume that everybody's going to be kind of like, you know, socializing and just kind of hanging around. It's not a hobby. It's a professional theater. You can treat them with respect just as if they were union actors.
Right.
And we can't pay them as if they were union actors yet. Mm-hmm. But that is our thing. Yeah. We are always looking for ways to try to make the experience for the people who work for us better, more professional, more efficient, and something that makes them want to come back and repeatedly work with us.
And I'm just, as a side note, it's mm-hmm. kind of reminding me a little bit of what Michael Halberstam's secret to success was in getting writers going, mm-hmm. which was just to treat the artists really well and very quickly be attracting a caliber, mm-hmm. particular of acting that, that a small company might not get. But so what else besides being well-run in that way would you say you pride yourselves on? Is there anything else?
Well, I definitely think communication is one of our best points. I mean, I would say that especially
speaking as the marketer.
Yes, I'll definitely say, you know, knowing that my job has been great. No. I think there's a clarity in vision and a clarity in everybody's just making sure that we are. Intentions are clear with each other. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with so many different theaters where there's been that tension where this artistic director hates this painter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they can't talk to each other or whatever. Or this actor is hating it. We clear that air.
No drama.
In a weird way, you don't want drama in theater.
Yeah, we do. We work very hard to make sure that If anybody does have any issue with anything that's going on, we all make it very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Look, come talk to us, say something. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not have thought of it. Mm-hmm. We're
that's why you're here.
we have six founding members. We have 13 total company members. I mean, that something's going to fall through the cracks mm-hmm. on that in any one time. So come say something.
Another point I was going to bring up too is I think that we really wanted to be a part of the audience's experience. So I think we've made it more of a policy to come out after the shows and discuss right there with people about Eclectic and just to talk with them. I mean, we were up performing Laughter at the 23rd floor up at Metropolis Performing Arts Center over the summer. And we made it
That was a remount.
We took it from the city out to Metropolis.
We made a huge effort to just talk with these people about, you know, what it is we do and how much that they responded to that. Because we didn't want to be just actors that they see on the stage and then they disappear off into the wings and they never see them mm-hmm. again. We walked out in costume and we talked with the people. And at first we had our reservations because we thought, oh, that's such a community theater feel, like going out to Palm Prize. But again, if you go out with the intention of this is a choice we're making, this is our professional choice mm-hmm. that we're doing, the atmosphere of it and the quality of the conversations.
Yeah, we did. We ended up having some very interesting conversations with people about the show and about the themes of the show mm-hmm. right there mm-hmm. at the table. It also got us some got us names for our emailing list, and we got brochures passed out for the upcoming season. And we're doing that as well in the city. City people don't hang out quite as much as the suburban people do. But I also think that just having company members out there, as you are exiting, just saying, thanks so much. I hope to see you at the next one. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. I hope to see you at the next one. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate your business. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody did want to say something, you know, they have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. They have the chance to stop and go, and I did that during Take Me Out, and I did have a number of people stop and talk to me about, oh, I saw it before, and this is this, and you guys did it this way, and I never thought that I'd see, you know, something like this in a tiny little studio, and I can't believe how you did this, and thank you so much, and I'm definitely going to come to the next.
It's a way to strike when the iron is hot, because I think we had one particular person come after, right after seeing the show, and talk with some of our company members. And wanted to get involved right there because they saw the quality of the show and they saw what we had to offer. And through that contact, we've been able to have, you know, fundraising events and all sorts of different other performance opportunities just from that one person. Mm-hmm. And it's been able to help get our name out and expand it. And I think we wouldn't have had that had we been...
We are professional actors. We're going to go backstage now and you're not going to see us ever again.
Yeah. Right.
I'm so, so glad that we're able to, you know, reach out and talk with these audiences because they want to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form.
We'll talk a little bit about talkbacks, and I will tell you candidly, I am not a huge fan generally of talkbacks.
Mm-hmm. Most people aren't.
So well, a lot of actors aren't.
That's part of it. It's almost like, you know, I think one part of my reaction is when the sports announcers interview the actor, I mean, the athlete who's dripping and panting and exhausted and couldn't. The last thing they want to be doing is talking about, you know, their why they did or didn't catch that pass. It has a little bit of that feeling to me, like, you know, it's asking a lot of the actors. But there's also just in general, the quality of the conversation, in my view, isn't that interesting. So I'm wondering what your experience has been and what you might be doing to make it successful.
Yeah, I'll be the first one to say I'm right in the same boat. I mean, anytime that I know there's a talk back, I always kind of
roll your eyes.
I roll my eyes and say that. But I will say this, when I have gone out and I've sat and we open the conversation, inevitably there's going to be one person that raises their hand and says that not only did they express how emotionally affected they were by what they just saw. Mm-hmm. And because you forget sometimes that in the performance process, the actors and the audience are going through an emotional journey together. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird, interesting way of closure for it. It's a nice kind of moment where you can connect with these people that have gone through the exact same thing you went through and kind of have a meeting of the minds. Mm-hmm. It through Eclectic, it's kind of revived my hope with the talkback process because it's more than just saying, having people raise their hand and say, well, how did you memorize all those lines? Right. You don't want we're trying to prompt discussion about the themes of the play. We're trying to prompt discussions about, you know, what the implications are in our day-to-day life with what we're doing.
And that was a learning curve for us as well, because the first show that we did, it was very much like, anybody got any questions?
Nope.
Okay, good night.
Thanks.
Right. We have gotten people now, other company members, to be there and kind of, you know, prime the pump, perhaps, with asking the actors some questions, some thematic questions, or something specific to the show. Well, this was really difficult. How did you deal with this? Mm-hmm. You know, the talkbacks change based on the show. I mean, when we did Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, we're not getting, you know, hoity-toity, in-depth kind of things. We're getting stuff like, so did you, I mean, doing Hamlet backwards, what was that like? You know,
the mechanics of it.
But see, I find I'm probably one of the few actors that really loves talkbacks, primarily because of the idea that even if you are asking me a purely mechanical question or a purely procedural question about how did you change clothes so quickly? You have 85 different costumes. How'd you do that? That to me is that's a moment that I can show somebody exactly what what theater is about from other side.
All this problem solving.
You know, it's like, well, this is how we figured out how to do that.
Yeah. And of course, it has to be gratifying to actually know how it landed.
It's always a wonderful thing to hear people go, this was amazing. I didn't expect or I felt this way about it or this did. It's wonderful feedback for us.
Because as artists, you think you know if an audience was with you. You think you know how they took it, but it's different than actually having them tell you.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations on getting a new company started in Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck going forward.
Thanks very much.